We started 2 weeks ago a series called Frequency. Somebody say Frequency. And what we recognized is that there is a God frequency. Somebody say God frequency. And what we need to do in this earth, how many know we're in this earth? We're part of this earth, but we're not, we're on this earth, but this isn't our place. This isn't our final destination. We are part of another kingdom. Look at your neighbor and say, you're part of a different kingdom. But see, you're on this earth, and so there is this pulling that takes place. There's this tug of war that's taking place with all of us. And it's a tug of war to be carnal or to be spiritual. To be part of the world's system or to be part of God's system. How many recognize there's a pulling that takes place in all our lives? Yeah. How many would raise your hand and say, I I know what you're talking about, Pastor. And Paul even says that which he understands the pulling, he says that which he doesn't want to do, that very thing he does. And that thing that he doesn't want to do, that very thing, that's what he does do. But how many know there's somebody who can save us from this? See, we need to continue to read on and recognize God says, Paul says, but Jesus can deliver me from this. Jesus calls us to live a life. He says, be ye perfect as my Father in heaven is perfect. See, this mindset of, you know what, well, it's just the flesh, and I'm going to always have the flesh, and I'm always going to sin, and all this garbage is a sin mentality that God has called us to be free from. I'm here to tell you, I'm not saying that there's not a tug of war taking place. I'm not saying that that doesn't take place. Here's what I'm saying. I'm going to lay out before you ways that you can lead, be led, and get into the spirit versus into your flesh. How many would recognize, how many would say this, Pastor, there's been times in my, even after my Christianity, that I've gotten into the flesh. How many would raise your hands and confess that? And how many would recognize that those times that even as a Christian that you get into the flesh, that's not a good time for you. The Bible says the wrath of God doesn't produce the righteousness of God. In other words, when you get angry and you justify, I'll tell you what I mean, I'm not angry because I don't spend time with God. The Bible says in the presence of God is perfect peace. I'm not angry because I'm not spent time with God in 4 days. I'm angry because you made me angry. I mean, no, nobody can make you angry. How many know nobody can make you angry? You choose to give your control to other people, but no one can make you angry. So when anger comes, it's a way of you being pulled in the right direction, wrong direction, and you being pulled into the carnality. How many recognize that you've made some bad decisions since you've been Christian? You've been pulled into that carnality. Not only can you recognize that, but can you recognize that's not going to be a good place for you to stay? You know, but Pastor, you know what? I can't afford that. I'll show you a passage in the Bible where Paul says these people gave out of their poverty. Amen. See, that I can't afford that is a marketing reality in our carnal world. That we've been pulled, you know, Madonna said it quite eloquently. She said, you know what? I'm a materialistic girl. living in a materialistic world. What's she describing? She's describing this pull into the carnal, into the fleshly, into the sensual, where everything's about me, everything is about what I want, everything's about, you know what, that's where it comes from. I can't afford that. No. As we go to the mall and can afford, all of a sudden we can afford other things. Come on, what did you come here to hear the truth? Or did you come here to me just to say, you know what, Mary had a little lamb. You know what? How many know we need to hear some truth today? Amen. There's a carnality that takes place. We get pulled in and we just throw a bunch of smoke and go, no, I just can't afford it. And then you go to the mall, you know what? And all of a sudden, I don't know how you can afford that, but you got some bags in your hands. Amen. Don't shout me down. Or you go to Fry's, all of a sudden, you know what? You got some jam and stereo. How'd you afford that? Oh, Pastor, that's different. You know what? I'll say, hey, well, you know what? You know, even bringing up the suggestion, even the suggestion that you go the next 6 months without a cell phone is astronomically bizarre. Come on, don't shout me down when I'm preaching good. Pastor, are you crazy? No, see, it's this functionality of carnality, of comfortableness, and you're gonna say, no, God, you back off. Amen. And I'm going to show you today, you know what, that this is this the reality going taking place. We live in a very, how many know we live in a very, we're part of a very carnal world. You know, I was listening to a pastor the other day and it reminded me of my life. He said, I'm glad that I was raised. When my mom, my dad would say, this is how it is, and I'm not asking you. Amen. I was thinking about in my life, you know what? You know how much grace I had in my life to do what my mom told me to do? You know how much? 3 seconds worth of grace. Somebody say 3 seconds worth of grace. See, some of you don't know what I'm talking about. I had 3 seconds worth of grace to do what she told me to do. Amen. So whatever she was, she'd say, Drew, I'm going to count to 3. She didn't say I was going to count to 5. She didn't say I was going to count to 25. She didn't say after this program's over, when you get to it, she said, I'm going to count to 3. How many know at 4, it wasn't a good day for me? Amen. But see, we live in a world now where, you know what, parents are afraid to parent their kids. You know what? They're afraid to tell them, you know what? No, we ain't going to do that. How many know if you won't parent your kid at 5, you're going to have a nightmare at 12? Amen. You know, when we live in a world where this flesh carnality is bizarre because, you know what? Kids are losing good jobs because they have attitudes with their bosses. They think it's bizarre that their boss tells them to do something. Amen. So bizarre. I went to work and my boss wanted me to work. Amen. Come on. And what am I describing? I'm describing a world that is just so wrapped up in themselves. And that has crept into the church. Where we look at God and we're like, hey, God, what are you talking about? You know what? I'm not, and I'm, can I get practical today? I said, can I get practical today? We're like, God, I said, can I get practical today? You're like, God, I'm not one of the 100. That's not me. God's saying, no, it is you. It is you. I am speaking to you. And I'm saying, figure it out. But you figure it out. And we're like, that's the last time, And people are walking away from pastors who love them enough to tell them the truth and say, you know what, that is wrong for the pastor to do that. Listen to me. The Bible says that there's a time that will happen where, you know what, where it says, woe to those who call good bad and bad good. Amen? You know, we live in it today, and we're starting to step into a place where that which is bad is considered good. No. That's bad. 30 years ago, everybody knew that was bad. But now, because of the carnality, but listen to this. Now, we're stepped into a place where not only that which is bad is called good, listen, but that which is good is called bad. Amen? And we're like, hey, back off, Pastor. You know what I mean? Because I know what you're about. What you're trying to do is to get me to give $1,000. Here, bigger picture. Here's what I'm really trying to do. I'm trying to be obedient to what God has asked us to do, and I'm leading it, number one. Number two, I'm trying to get you outside of yourself. I'm trying to just get you to step into trusting God. Listen, if all you ever give is what you think you can afford to give, how many know that's really not trusting God at all? How many know that's true? If all you ever do is that which is comfortable to you, you are going to be disobedient to God all kinds of days in your life. Because God will press you out of what you think is comfortable. Amen? And third, let me tell you what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to have a footprint in our community that makes a difference. Listen, when we sit before God, God isn't going to look at me and say, Pastor, why didn't you accomplish what I called you to accomplish as a church? He's not going to say that. He's going to say that to all of us. And we individually will take responsibility for our part in what God has called us to do. Amen? And you won't be able to say, hey, well, you know what, I didn't, one, my fault, it was that, you know what, that was pastor's church. Amen. How many know this is not pastor's church? This is our church. Amen. Is this good preaching already? Okay. So let's go over a couple of passages. I want you to understand, today I'm just going to teach you one thing. Everybody say one thing. That obedience will pull. What side was carnal and what side was spiritual? Do you remember? Is this carnal? That's spiritual. Okay. Satan will try to pull you into the carnal. God is trying to pull you into the spiritual. Listen to me. Write this down. Obedience is a key to you getting on God's frequency. Obedience is a key to you pulling yourself from the carnal to the spiritual. It's a key. The more you will obey God, the more you're going to feel a connection with God. Listen, obedience, I could preach this all day long. You know, sometimes I'll speak over you at the end of service. I'll say, hey, can I bless you? Can I speak a blessing over you? I remember this. And one of the things that I'll preach to you, speak over you, is you're the head, not the tail. You're above, not beneath. You are the lender, not the borrower. How many remember that? Do you know what it says before all that? You know what the key to all that is? He says, if you will obey my commandments. Then you will be the head, not the tail. You will be above, not beneath. You will be the lender and not the borrower. If you will be obedient, you're going to be sucked into this spiritual realm. In this spiritual realm is filled with the blessings of God. In this spiritual realm is filled the blessings of God.
Amen.
Amen. How many have come to this church, watch this, and in some way your life has gotten better? Raise your hand if that's you. Raise your hand real high. I want to see. Okay. Well, listen, let me tell you why that got better. It didn't get better because I'm just, threw fairy dust at you. You know what I mean? It's like, here, fairy dust. Let me tell you what happened. What happened is you came, and under the anointing of hearing the word of God, you heard the word of God, and then you went out and applied the word of God, and as you were obedient, it pulled you over here into the spiritual where there's blessings. It's not coincidental. If you sow to the flesh, you're going to reap corruption. But if you sow to the spirit, you're going to have life and peace. Is this making sense? So you come and you hear the word of God. You know what? Listen, there are people, and I hope it's not you, and they come every week and they hear the word of God and they say, oh, hallelujah, I heard the word of God. But then they go home and they don't change at all. Those are the scariest people on the face of this earth. Why? Because they're self-deceived. You don't get better because you heard the word of God. You get better when you hear it and apply it. Does this make sense? Obedience is a key to God's frequency. Let me show you a couple of passages that'll help you. This is an amazing passage. And how many know there's some passages you'll read and you'll be like, oh, that's interesting. You know what? But you'll just move on. Because it's just like, oh, that's, but how many know there is meat in every single passage? So look, this is John chapter 12, verse 38. Father, glorify your name. Jesus is about to go to the cross. He's being asked to die on the cross. Before he goes to the cross, he knows, because it's been prophetically in the Old Testament, that God has revealed he's going to suffer a lot before he goes to the cross. He knows all this. He's prophetically talking about what's going to happen. It's in this passage that it says, it's in this passage, right before that, here's what he says. He says, if there's going to be a big benefit, if you take a seed and you don't kill that seed by burying it, all you're ever going to have is one seed. Right before this is what he says. He says, but, prophetically speaking of himself, he says, but if you put that seed in the ground and it dies, then that seed is going to produce. Well, Jesus was prophetically talking about himself. It's in that passage that he says, if you lose your life, you're going to gain it. If you keep your life, you're going to lose it. Right before, that's all what he said. And then he says this, Father, glorify your name. Then a voice came from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. God is saying, let me tell you what, I've done some crazy, radical, awesome things. Glory is, you know what? If somebody really, 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 really wealthy came in to the parking lot, you might see their glory. You might see a manifestation of their wealth. They might come in and have a very, very, very nice car. They might come in in a, they might not even be driving. They might have a chauffeur. Okay. And they're not being all, you know, a bouffon. You know, that's just how they live. That's just their life. They come in just like anybody else, but they haven't driven in a long time. What's that? That's part of their glory. God says, listen. I have both glorified it. You've seen crazy radical things in the Old Testament. Jesus, you've seen my glory. Remember when he raised up the bread and the fish? Everybody got all you could eat. You know, bunch of lunch, amen. How many know, I guarantee you, you know, how many enjoy a chicken sandwich over at Chick-fil-A? Okay, I guarantee you that fish sandwich is better than any fish sandwich you ever had in your life. But he's glorifying himself. But he says this, and I will glorify it again. What's he talking about? The Bible says that Satan never, ever would have killed Jesus had he known what was going on. I tell you what, you have never seen a home run as long as I'm going to hit a home run. This is going to be the victory of all victories. And I've done some crazy, radical, cool things, but I'm about to do something incredible. I have both glorified it, and I will glorify it again. Where's that coming from? Come on, the answer's right up here. Look at the answer. Where's this coming from? Listen, then a voice came from heaven. Somebody say a voice from heaven. There is a voice coming from heaven. And it said something. Somebody say God speaks. Now listen to me. You used to, Pastor, what are you talking about? I'm talking about, can you hear God? Can you hear God? Well, let me tell you what. If you're on the carnal, you won't be able to hear God. You'll be on the wrong frequency. You know what? You got the play this funky music white boy turned up too loud. You know what? You got the brick house going too loud. Hello, somebody. You can't hear that. You don't know what God is saying. God is speaking clearly, but you don't hear him. Why? Because you're in his wrong frequency. You can all day long try to find an AM station on FM, and you'll never find it. And listen, and it's there all the time. You just are on the wrong frequency. Listen, where'd the voice come from? Come on, somebody. Where'd the voice come from? Heaven, who's talking? God. Yeah, God is talking. Now watch this. Watch the next verse. Watch the next verse. Go. Oh, do I have it? Don't go. I got it. Okay, what's he saying? Therefore, the people who stood by, there are a bunch of people who heard, who were right there. They stood by. Why? By Jesus. Stood by. They heard it. And heard it, said it had thundered. They don't know what happened. They can't, watch this. They haven't acclimated their life to hear God. So, God, how many know God speaks clearly? God is saying, I've glorified it and I'm going to glorify it again. Jesus heard it. But they are like, like, oh, what? Wow. Must have thundered, man. What was that? Then some other people who were there, others said an angel had spoken to him. But watch this. There's no clarity of what's going on. There's no distinction of knowing what's really happening. Some people, God is speaking, but you're not hearing him. And you're not hearing him because there's too much carnality going on. There's too much, watch this, unforgiveness. There's too much selfishness. There's too much bitterness. There's too much, you know what, just focus on yourself. And so God's speaking, but you're not hearing. Well, Pastor, how do I get into the place where I can hear God? Somebody asked me that. Thank you for asking, Connie. You know how you do it? You start walking, or listen to me, you start walking in obedience. When you will start walking in obedience, it'll drag you over here, and the thunder will become clarity. You'll start to hear God. Can I show it to you in the Word? Let me go over a couple passages before we do that. Look at 1 Corinthians. But as it is written, you know this passage. People quote this all the time, completely out of context. They take a scripture and they make it say something different than it's saying. Eye has not seen, nor ear have heard, nor entered into the hearts of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. The very thing that God is saying is, I'm going to reveal it to you guys. But they'll quote this. And they'll say, oh man, nobody really, here's what they're saying. Nobody really knows the will of God. We just don't know it. We have no idea. Well, that's what happens when you take a verse out of context, when you just read one verse and don't read the verse above it and below it. Look at what it says right below this. Don't ever say that talking about you don't really know what's going on. Because that's completely out of context. Look at this next verse. But God, does it say has not? How many know words are important? But God has revealed it, has revealed them. What? All these supernatural things that are going to take place. All these supernatural, to us. Somebody say to us. What? Through his what? Spirit. Somebody say, you got to come to this side. How are you going to get over here? Through his spirit. How are you going to get over here? By being obedient to what God has asked you to do, we'll pull you over this way. How many know you can get into a frequency? I don't know a lot about this. I didn't even make any sense to me. We're driving around, Tamara and I are driving around, and she says, we got to get to a Wi-Fi. I'm like, Wi-Fi? I'm like, why? Why? I don't get it. She just said, just pull in here. We pull into a Starbucks. Don't even get out to get a Starbucks. We just pull into the parking lot. And when we pull into the parking, watch this. Come on, somebody stay with me. Watch where I'm going with this. When we pull into the parking lot, did you catch this? When we pull into the parking lot, all of a sudden, woo! Something opened up on our computer and we could connect to where before we couldn't connect. See, let me tell you what. Obedience is pulling into Starbucks. Does that make sense? You can putt a ball. You can putt a ball. Boom. Putt a golf ball. And you can putt it and it can be going towards the hole. Watch this. But it's not directly in line. If it was directly in line, it'd go right into the hole. But it's not. It's not in line. But it's near the hole. It's not in the hole, it's near the hole. It's not directly in line. If it was directly in line, it would, boom, go right in the hole. But it's near the hole. It was actually not in line. But because the speed is right, because that golfer has got that ball around the hole, guess what's going to happen?
gravity is going to suck it in. Guys, you got this clip? Watch this. Watch this carefully. This is amazing. Watch this. Watch the ball. It's offline. He missed it.
It must be really close because he's having a look from that angle. He only has 10 seconds. He can't walk around the green and go have a chat with someone in the gallery and come back. But he can take his time getting up there. And it's not going to drop, John. Goodness me, that might be right on the very...
Is that amazing? It wasn't lined up. He just got it close to the hole. For some of you, you just got to get in the parking lot. You just got to get the ball rolling. You just got to start to be, watch this. You just got to start to be obedient. You're like, God, it doesn't make any sense to me. It doesn't make any sense. It doesn't have to make any sense. I didn't understand why we weren't connected. And all of a sudden we drove in the parking lot. All of a sudden we were. I don't understand it. Here's what I know. Obedience to God will pull you into a whole frequency. You'll be in a whole different place. Yeah. Amen. Can I show it to you in the Word of God? Watch this. Yes, thank you. Luke chapter 5. Follow me here. Luke chapter 5. So it was, as the multitude pressed him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake Gennesaret and saw two boats standing by the lake, but the fishermen had gone from there and were washing their nets. Why were they washing their nets? Because they'd been fishing all night. He got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, and ask him to put out a little from the land, and he sat down and taught the multitudes from the lake. You've heard this before. The him being a boat uses the water as a natural amplifier, and all of them heard the word of God. God is a real smart God. Okay, watch this. When he had stopped speaking, he said to Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. Guys, I got to keep on going on this. I only went to 5, but I need to keep on going. But Simon answered and said to him, Master, we have toiled all night, caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net. Did you catch it? Did you catch it? Did you catch it? Watch this. Look at 4. And he stopped speaking and said, when you catch it, raise your hand. And he stopped speaking and he said to him, launch into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net. When you caught it, raise your hand. I said, when you caught it, raise your hand. Let down your nets for a catch. I will let down the net. When you caught it, raise your hand. Did Jesus ask him to let down a net, or did Jesus ask him to let down the nets? The nets. Guys, go to verse 6. And when he had done this, they caught a great multitude of fish. And their what? Net. And their net was breaking. Next verse. So they signaled to their partners. Guys, this was a business. He asked him, can I use your boat? This was a fisherman business where they owned the boats. It's their nets. He signaled partners in the boat to come and help them, and they came and filled both the boats so that they began to sink. How many know this is a lot of fish? Look at this next verse. Next verse. Then Simon saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees saying, depart from me, for I'm a sinful man. We'll get back to that point. Why is he calling himself a sinful man? Why is he calling himself a sinful man? Yeah, because I believe very clear in the text. Because he's not being obedient to what God asked him to do. Not fully. Watch this. Watch this. For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of the fish which they have taken. Next verse. And so also were James and John and the sons of Zebedee. Hey, how many know there's a lot of people seeing this? How many know these guys are going, whoa! Who were partners with Simon, and Jesus said to Simon, do not be afraid. How many of God can tolerate our imperfections? Do not be afraid. From now on, you will catch men. Now, stay here and get, guys, get ready to go in the next verse. Jesus is pulling him to this supernatural place, a place of abundance. You know how many people would like to be Peter? Can you imagine what Peter saw? You know the Bible says that it's the 12 apostles that are going to, have a very special place in heaven. The Bible says that. Watch this. Next verse. So when they had brought their boats to land, they forsook all and followed him. Do you see this? You ever gone to the car wash, self-serve car wash, and they have the real good sucking, vacuum cleaners, And you're like, you're vacuuming your car, like, oh, man, lost a penny, no big deal. You know what I mean? Ooh, and then all of a sudden, oh, I lost a quarter, that's a big deal. Ooh, I lost a $20 bill, wow! What happened? That tube got too close to that 20, and what happened? Just like the ball, it just sucked it in. Can I tell you what? Even in his imperfection, you know what Peter did? He got the ball rolling towards the hole. Do you see this? He says, nevertheless, it doesn't make, how many know to Peter, it didn't make any sense even to let a net down. But he let the net down. And when he let the net down, it caused him to come on over to this place of understanding in the supernatural realm like he had never understood before. He's recognized, oh my goodness, there's nothing more important than following Jesus. This little Mickey Mouse club that I had going on with this fishing business, oh, I don't want to do that anymore. I need to be with Jesus. What am I saying to you? And I told you I only have one thing to say today. And it's this, that if you will start to get that ball rolling into a place of obedience, if you'll start to get that ball rolling, you will be amazed at what happens. You know, when Tamara and I first came to this church, I had everyone, and I mean everyone, telling me what a dumb idea it was. You know what? You're part of this Foursquare denomination. You're in charge of these camps. You know what? All the leadership love you. You know what? And you know what? This would be a bad move for your career. How many know I want God to run my life? How many know God's ways are higher than my ways? How many know God knows the beginning from the end? God can get me to the place. See, that's why I came here. I was over in my office, and it was just, decorated right out of Brady Bunch, 1970s. Amen? And I was talking about how the church was going to grow and how we were going to bless so many people and so many kids and youth were going to be blessed. I stood over here Wednesday night, you know what, and saw the vision that God had given me 20 years ago. Amen. And I had this one sweet, sweet lady. She comes She moved to Ohio, but she helped us for years, her and her husband. And you know what? And she stood in my office later. I didn't even know she was thinking this, but she stood in my office thinking, what in the world? What in the world are you seeing? Because this place is a mess. Well, I wasn't seeing things from my spiritual eye, from my physical eyes. I was seeing things from my spiritual eyes. And what did you do? I just stepped out in faith. I just, you know what, stepped out in faith. I never forget, we were on a plane going to Dr. Radke. She was speaking in North Carolina. And we're going to Dr. Radke. And the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, this will be the year that you quit your job. Now listen, they had listen to me very carefully. They had this mathematical equation. How many years you'd been at the job and how old you were. And as soon as those two turned into 85, you were fully vested. What fully vested mean, you could get full retirement with all the benefits. I sat down on that plane and I started to calculate how many more years I needed, because I wasn't too far away. And I started to calculate how many years, more years, I would have to work with my age to come up with 85. And the Holy Spirit said, don't do that. Pastor, what'd you do? I didn't do it. True story. About 2 months later, I don't know exactly, about 2 months later, you know, I thought, oh, I'm going to check. He said, don't do it. 3 years later, I'm going to check. I had already retired, already given my, you know what, 2 week notice. But he said, don't do it. This happened all the time. And every single time the Holy Spirit said, don't do it. See, there's something about just being obedient to God and not looking back that honors God. I knew I was going to preach this to you yesterday, and I was studying it out, and I started to think, well, it's been so many years, I can do it now. And you know what I heard the Holy Spirit say? Don't do it. You know what? I still haven't done it, and I'm not going to do it. Can I tell you what? I can't even imagine of the blessings that I would have missed out on having. Yeah, but you would have had a full retirement and full whoop-de-doo-da-day, amen. You know what? The union, I'm just telling you the truth, the union has already come in and cut my pension in half because of mismanagement. Oh, I'm going to do, I'm going to count. You know, you can count on me. You can count on the union. Wake up and smell the coffee. God is who you can count on. Amen. I said, God is who you can count on. You be obedient to God. If you're willing and obedient, you're going to get out. You're going to eat the fat of the land. You're going to get out of your carnality, which carnality, all it puts you in is a mess. You're having sex with people you never should have sex with. You're catching all kinds of funky diseases, all kinds of junk. Pastor, you shouldn't say that. Why not? There's wages that we are having to pay because of disobedience. Amen. You think, oh, I'm going to move because, you know what, this. You know what, I know a lady, and she, you know what, and she, they moved out to Riverside. You know why they moved out to Riverside? Because, you know what, they could get cheap housing out in Riverside. She, years later, after every one of her kids were on drugs and in a mess, she, with tears running down her cheeks, said, you know what, Pastor, we never should have moved out to Riverside. See, if you're willing and obedient, you're going to eat the fat of the land. There's this place. If all, you know what, just listen to me, just get the ball rolling to the hole. Pastor, has every decision that you've made as a pastor been perfect? Here, this is deep. Ready? Are you ready for this answer? Absolutely not.
But I can't tell you how many times, you know what? You know what? That in my heart, I had a desire to do what God wanted. Amen. And even if that ball wasn't directly lined up, you know what? I'd be waiting, you know what? 1 second, 2 seconds, walking around the hole saying, man, God, did I miss it? And he said, yeah, you missed it a little bit. Sucked it in. Yeah. But he said, but let me tell you what. But I saw your heart. And can I tell you what happens? As I'm obedient, guess what? I start to hear the voice of God a lot clearer. And I line up the putt a lot better. How many hear what God is saying to you? Not to me. How many would say, God is speaking to me today? See, it's in your being obedient that's the key. Some of you, you know what? You had all kind of crazy excuse why you could not been here today. Oh, well, you know what? After all, you know, you know what? You don't go to hell because, you know, don't go to church one day. You know, no, but you miss God. Amen. Amen. How many hearing God speak to you in some different way? With every head bowed and every eyes closed, if you want to accept Jesus in your heart, I want you to raise your hand right now. I want you to say, I want to be in the family of God. Yes, yes, I see the hand. Who else? Who else? Is there anyone else? Yes, thank you. Thank you. Say this with me. Jesus, come in my heart. I want to be a Christian today. I want to live with you forever. I don't want to run my life anymore. You be my Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. We believe if you said that prayer, Jesus came in your heart. He'll change you from the inside out. Things that you desired, you won't even desire anymore. And he'll start to change you. You keep on coming to this church and watch what God will happen. You give us 1 year of being faithful. Watch what will happen in your life. Amen. Now, who else, real quickly, who else says, you know what, Pastor, God is speaking to me about being obedient. God is speaking to me about being obedient. I don't want to be partially obedient. I want to be obedient in whatever he asked me to do. And I recognize that's where I want to go. That's where I want to be. Who would raise your hand and say, Pastor, that was me. You are speaking to me today. Father, hands up all over. Father, bless these people. Thank you that they desire to do the right thing. And I thank you for your blessing. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen, amen, amen.